Part 1. Julia, in the Temple of Vesta. Yesterday, Titus Flavius Domitianus was just my brusque and rather strange uncle. Today, he is Lord and God, Pontifex Maximus, Emperor of Rome. Like my father and grandfather before him, he is master of the world, and I am afraid. But he has been kind to me. He says I will marry my cousin Gaius soon, and he promised me splendid games for the celebration. I couldn't tell him that I hate the games. He means to be kind. He says his empress will fit me for my wedding gown. She is very beautiful in her green silk and emeralds, and they whisper that he's mad with love for her. They also whisper that she hates him, but people like to whisper. I stare at the flame. Until there are two flames. I'm afraid. I'm always afraid. Shadows under the bed, shapes in the dark, voices in the air. My uncle watched 1,000 men die in the arena today, and he saved just one. He hates the rest of the family, but is kind to me. What does my uncle want? Does anyone know? Vesta, goddess of hearth and home, watch over me. I need you now.
1. April, AD 82. The atmosphere at the Mars Street Gladiator School was contented, convivial, and masculine as the tired fighters trooped in through the gates. 20 fighters had sailed out to join the main battle of the Cerealia Games, and 14 had come back alive. A good enough average to make the victors swagger as they filed through the narrow torchlit hall, dumping their armor into the waiting baskets.
Hooked that Greek right through the stomach. Prettiest piece of work I... See that bastard Lapicus get it in the back from that Gaul? Won't be looking down his long nose at us anymore. Hard luck on Theseus. Saw him trip in the sand.
Arius tossed his plumed helmet into the waiting basket, ignoring the slave who gave him cheery congratulations. His weapons had already been collected, of course. Those got snatched the moment the fighting was done.
First fight?
A chatty Thracian tossed his own helmet into the basket atop Arius's.
Mine too. Not bad, huh?
Arius bent to unlace the greaves about his shins.
Nice work you did on that African today. Had me one of those scrawny Oriental Greeks. No trouble there. Hey, maybe next time I'll get Bellerophon, and then I'll really make my fortune.
Arius unlaced the protective mail sleeve from his sword arm, shaking it off into the basket. The other fighters were already trooping into the long hall where they were all fed, whooping as they filed along the trestle tables and grabbed for the wine jugs.
Quiet, aren't you?
The Thracian jogged his elbow.
So where are you from? I came over from Greece last year.
Shut up,
said Arius in his flat, grating Latin.
What?
Brushing past the Thracian into the hall, he ignored the trestle tables and the platters of bread and meat. He leaned over and grabbed the first wine jug he saw, then headed off down another small, ill-lit hallway.
Don't mind him,
he heard another fighter growl to the Thracian.
He's a sour bastard.
Arius's room in the gladiator barracks was a tiny, bare cell. Stone walls, a chair, a straw pallet, a guttering tallow candle. He sank down on the floor, setting his back against the wall and draining half the jug in a few methodical gulps. The cheap grapes left a sour taste in his mouth.
No matter. Roman wine was quick, and all he wanted was quick.
Knock, knock,
a voice trilled at the door.
I hope you aren't asleep yet, dear boy.
Piss off, Gallus.
Tut, tut. Is that any way to treat your lanista, not to mention your friend?
Gallus swept in, vast and pink-fleshed in his immaculate toga, gold gleaming on every finger, magnolia oil shining on every curled hair, a little silk-decked slave boy at his side, owner of the Mars Street Gladiator School. Arius spat out a toneless,